Okay, let's pray. Our God and Father, we're here this day, Lord, to come before you and hear from you. Father, this Sunday morning, and it's your day, and we want to start it with you as always. And Lord, we just ask that you would just give us direction, give us wisdom. Let anything I say this morning be from you and not of myself, Father. And we definitely want to hear and just know that you're giving us direction, Lord, to make our life easier. Father, we thank you for this beautiful day, Lord, and just ask that you'd send your Holy Spirit now in Jesus' name. Amen. Got a real back-to-basics message this morning. And I want to start it by reading a couple of, actually three news clips that I got off the internet. And one of them's from India. And this guy's name I have to pronounce is quite interesting, but we're going to try it. Lakshmanananda Saraswati started a Hindu religious center in Orissa, India in 1969, dedicated to countering the work of Christian missionaries. With the advance of Hindu extremism over recent years, Orissa has increasing levels of communal tension and anti-Christian sentiment. Last December, Saraswati incited attacks on Christians, which killed at least four Christians and saw 730 houses and 95 churches burned. We don't hear that on the news usually. You know, that's kind of stuff that stays pretty quiet. I want to read a story from Egypt. The number of violent incidents against the Christian minority is on the rise. The discrimination starts with Egyptians identifying their religion on passports and ID cards. Now, is that a neat one? And continues through the education system, while converts from Islam to Christianity lose their inheritance. I mean, their families literally disown them if they become Christians. At the end of May, a 4th century monastery at Deir Abu Fana was attacked by 60 armed Muslim militants, who injured three monks before forcing one of them to spit on the cross. How would you like to be a Christian in those parts of the world? And then I got a third story, and I'm going somewhere with this, so just bear with me a second. This is a story from England. A police community support officer stopped two church workers from handing out Christian leaflets in public in an area of Birmingham, saying this: "You can't preach here. This is a Muslim area." PCSO, and I can't pronounce this guy's name, I'll have to skip it, told the Christians they were committing a hate crime by attempting to convert Muslims to Christianity, and said, "You have been warned. If you come back here and get beat up, well, you've been warned." Now, my question is, We're in a free country. We have an awesome country we live in. There's a lot of crazy stuff, and there's a lot of weird stuff, and you know, we got to be on top of it. We got to be involved to make sure it stays as free as it is. But when you compare it to what these people go through, we're an awesome country. But my question is, why would anybody that faces all that want to become a Christian? I mean, there's all kinds of other religions they could pick. I mean, I don't like calling Christianity a religion because it's a relationship. The way I look at it, it's a relationship with God and Jesus. But most people call it a religion, so we're going to call it that. But when you face those kind of adversities, what would make you want to become a Christian? That's pretty wild. You know, I want to just point out a few little things. Or like in England, for instance, you know, that's another one. You know, why would you want to hand out tracts? You know, Christians, a lot of Christians are big on handing out leaflets to people. And a lot of people don't like that. And I believe there's a place to do it and a place not to do it. You have to respect people when you do it and stuff. But, you know, when they call that a hate crime, that kind of makes you wonder what's going on in the world. So, why would you be willing to go through all that? I mean, you could just as easily be a Muslim and not worry about it. You know, be a Hindu. And there's plenty of religions to pick from where you wouldn't be faced with that adversity. Now, I know why I became a Christian, because becoming a Christian for me, it changed my life. You know, it gave my life a purpose. It gives me peace when I go to bed at night. And yes, someday I won't go to heaven. That's not the main purpose. You know, we want something now. You know, as human beings, that's one thing about human beings. We always want something now. And I was listening to a show one day. They were talking about, you know, this is how people are. And I'm sure I'm the same way. But if you tell somebody, I give you $50 today, or I give you $100 next year, the majority of the people will take the 50. Even so, they could double it if they waited a year. Well, same thing with being a Christian. Even so, we know that being a Christian, we go to heaven, the end result's heaven. We still want something now. And that makes perfect sense. I mean, we want our life to be easier. But heck, with everything I was reading earlier, it sounds like our life will be harder, not easier. And some aspects of it will. I was talking to my brother here a week ago or 2 weeks ago, and you know, one of the comments he made, he says, you know, when I didn't believe in Jesus, he says, man, my life was easy. I had nothing to worry about. I just do whatever I wanted to, never worry about it once. But all of a sudden, when you become a Christian, all of a sudden you're trying to live a certain way. You want to please God. And God helps you to live that way. But yeah, all of a sudden you have a battle inside of you saying, hey, do I want to do good or bad? Do we pick good or bad? And a lot of times we pick bad, which is not good. But there is a battle once we become a Christian. And I'm not trying to scare people away from Christianity right now. I just want to lay it out there and show what it truly is. Now, so many times you hear people say, hey, just say this prayer. Everything will be great after that. Have a good day. And they go home. And it doesn't work that way. There's a lot more to it. But you say, well, you know, you promised me heaven. You promised me a God that takes care of me. All the other religions do that. And that's true. I mean, even the terrorists at 9-1-1, they had a religion, and they believed that what they were doing was getting them to heaven, and they was going to get all kinds of virgins and just all kinds of crazy stuff. And they died for the cause. So what makes Christianity different? Well, one thing, one big difference between Christianity and all other religions is that being saved is a free gift. It is a free gift from God. You cannot, and we've preached on that, I think, a couple races ago, that you cannot work your way into heaven. Going to heaven, being saved, is a gift from God. And all it takes is acknowledging that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died on the cross to pay for the sins we commit. He rose 3 days later and is now in heaven preparing a place for us. That's what it takes. And then I think the last race we talked about, that should make us want to live different, which is true. You know, because when we truly become Christians, our life changes and we become a different person. I know for myself, when I was first saved, it's been quite a few years now, I think like 15 or 16 years ago when I was saved. Before I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I was real potty mouth. I was borderline alcoholic, a partier. And just my life wasn't anything like what God would want us to live like. Well, I made a decision to follow Jesus and receive him as my Lord and Savior. With that, of course, like I said earlier, should come change. Well, the next day you get up, and I'm not one of those touchy-feely kind of persons. I'm not very emotional, you might say. So when I got up the next day, like, well, is anything different? I felt the same, I thought. Didn't really think anything had changed. But time will tell. So I started going back to work, and I was working construction sites, and everybody that works on those probably knows that the language is pretty bad, the comments are horrible, and I used to be right in the middle of all of it with them. Probably worse than half of them there. But it's like, I started going to work, and all of a sudden I realized I was talking different. The F word was out of my vocabulary all of a sudden that I used in almost every third sentence at least. But all of a sudden I quit cussing. One of the big issues I had was drinking. Like I said, I wasn't a full-fledged alcoholic. I only drank after work. That's the way I interpreted it, which to most people that's bad enough. But I still remember being saved and going to the bar the next day and trying to tell my friends what, you know, what I had done. And I just remember the beer just didn't taste the same. It just didn't taste right to me. Me and my wife were saved at the same time. And we both decided that drinking wasn't for us anymore. Not that there's anything wrong with having a drink. I'm not. You can have a drink. You can have two drinks. I don't care. There's nothing in the Bible anywhere says you can't go have a sociable drink. But the Bible does talk against being a drunk. And that's the category that I placed myself in at the time. Because when you drink every day and you got to have a six-pack minimum, I do think that borders on a drinking problem. So, but the point I'm trying to make, there was changes that were taking place in me that I didn't do. And that's how you know you're truly saved. When you truly receive Jesus, you make there's changes that happen in your life that are instigated by Him and not by yourself. Now, you can resist them and go back to your old way of life. You can do that. But if you want to be different, you will become different. But we started this whole thing with why would we want to do that when all these other religions promise the same thing? And this is where the faith comes in. There is no way that those religions can provide that. They cannot give you the free gift of life. There's no way. There's only one that can do that. Now, do I expect you to believe this in blind faith? Should you just say, oh, yeah, you know, Hines, he said it, so it's got to be true. Or, you know, television says some things, you know, so that's got to be true, some people think. No, I could be feeding you a whole line up here. You don't know that. So you have to take a look at it. You have to research it. And the whole point of the message today, there's two ways for you to become a Christian. One, you take a leap of faith and you step out and say, God, I believe what Hines says, and I want to follow you. I want to be saved. I want to be in heaven with you someday. That is one way to become a Christian. Now, the Bible says that if you seek God, He will reveal Himself to you, and He will do that. And that works for a lot of people. My wife knew almost nothing about Christianity when she became saved. She just took that leap of faith, and she'll tell you that the night that she became saved was like Jesus just walked up to her and wrapped His arms around her. That's exactly how it felt, and she knew it was real from that moment on. Now, me, myself, like I said, I'm not a huggy-feely person. I didn't feel nothing. You got to prove it to me. Well, if you don't want to take the leap of faith, how can I prove to you that it's real? Well, I can't. All I can tell you is what the Bible says. But here's the awesome part. The Bible says one thing, that God will draw you, and you will know that it's God drawing you, and you have the choice to either receive Him or reject Him. You know, so if you're standing here, and you haven't made a decision for Jesus, and you feel something tugging on your heart, that's not me, because I can't do that. That's God. He's saying, hey, hello, I want you to pay attention. So how do you learn more? Because you're still not sure. You still don't know for sure that you want to answer that call because you still don't understand it. Well, you can study the Bible. The Bible's a hard thing to study for some people. They don't know where to start. I mean, if you start in the Old Testament back, like when they received the Mosaic Law and all that stuff, it would be very easy to become very confused. So you need to get with somebody that can point you through the Bible. Now, in our case, if you were standing here right now and you're trying to decide if you want to believe it or not, I actually took the time and made a free CD that I give away that you can listen to that'll give you basic scriptures in the Bible and explains exactly why we believe that God is real. It explains what being saved is all about, and it also explains what you should do after you're saved. I like to give them away because, like I said there at the beginning, I don't like to come in and tell you you got to do something and then just leave town and then you're left hanging and you don't know what to do with yourself after that. Well, that gives you an opportunity to listen to that. And then you take that and you put it against the Bible, because if that doesn't check out with the Bible, you need to throw it away. Now, I did my best to make sure that it fits with the Bible, so you're pretty safe, but you still have to form your own opinion on that. I can't do that. And so, I hope that every one of you here knows Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And I hope the ones that don't know him, even if you don't want to make a decision today, which I understand it took me till I was 30-some years old before I finally made that decision. But when I finally did, it was the best thing that I ever did. And for those of you that are still thinking about it, grab a free CD, listen to it, pray about it, contemplate on it, and see where it takes you. Now, if you are ready to make such a decision, I'm not going to bring you down here in front of everybody, but I will be here a better part of the day. I'm not racing today, but I'm still going to be here till probably 1-2 o'clock. Anybody can look me up and you can come to me. We can talk about this, but right here is what you have to do if you've never received Jesus and you'd like to. And this is out of Romans. It's my favorite scripture that those of you that know me have probably heard me read it 100 times. But Romans 10 says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. One thing I can guarantee you, if you truly make that decision, your life will never be the same. And some things in life will become harder. And yeah, if you go to the wrong place, the wrong parts of the world, you could be persecuted. They try to persecute people here in the United States. They just do it a little where it's not quite as obvious. But you can get persecuted right here. But it will be the best thing that you've ever done. And with that, I'd like to close. So let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for everything that you do. We know that what we believe in is not accepted by a lot of people. A lot of people, they don't want to hear about you. They try to take you out of the schools. They try to take you out of everything nowadays. But we're still in a country where we're free. And we're free to gather here right now and talk about you. And that is awesome. A lot of places we would get in trouble for this, but not here in the U.S. So we thank you for this country. We thank you for the freedom. We thank you for the track owners here that allowed us to do this morning. It is great. Father, as we get ready to go racing this morning, Lord, I just ask before we go that each person here will just check themselves to see if you're calling them today. You never know when you get another chance. And if today's the day, you need to answer the call. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you for your son, Jesus. We thank you for the fact that he died for us, Lord. And we thank you that our salvation is a free gift and not something we have to earn. As we get ready to race, Father, I ask for protection on everyone here. You've given us a beautiful day. Couldn't be any better. And we just ask that you would just keep us safe here and on the way home as only you can. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all for coming.